God's design for marriage needs to be taught and celebrated and embraced in a local church. But as Michelle Hill points out, when you're single, hearing that message over and over again can make you feel like an outsider.
What the church is saying is that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. It's a great picture of the gospel. And so I sit there and go, what about me? Can I be a part of that picture? Can I try to paint some brush strokes on that? I do sometimes walk away going, what's wrong with me?
This is Family Life Today. Our host is Dennis Rainey and I'm Bob Lapine. How can the church help single adults understand where they fit into God's design for marriage and family and singleness and sex? We're going to talk about that today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. We are headed into some real family life with the topic today.
I wondered how you were going to get into this broadcast. This is a first.
Well, we're going to be talking about...
No. Let's let the author of the book...
Tell us what we're going to be talking
tell
about.
Tell us what we're going to be talking
That's
about.
Fair.
Dr. Julie Slattery joins us again on Family Life Today. Welcome back, Julie.
Thanks so much for having me.
We also have Michelle Hill, who is the host of Family Life This Week. On the team here at Family
yes,
Life?
Yes, most definitely.
Aren't you excited about being here?
I am. I'm very excited.
Oh,
anytime
come on.
I get to share the table with you and Bob,
yeah,
and now Julie,
tell
my
the
new
truth,
best friend.
Though, when I came to you and said, hey, we're going to be talking with Dr. Julie Slattery about her new book, and you said, what's the book about? And I told you.
And she faked that she was going to the dentist.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lame excuse.
You wanted to get out of this.
I have to get out of here as quickly as possible.
So, Julie, what's the book about?
It's called Sex and the Single Girl.
And Michelle?
Yes.
You're a single girl, right?
Yes.
In your 40s?
Yes.
Never been married?
No.
You ready to talk about this?
Sure.
I like that.
Let's
Good.
Jump in.
Okay.
Nothing like sitting around talking about this book.
Yeah.
Julie, thanks for writing it.
Sure.
I'm really glad. I think there needs to be a wholesome, healthy perspective addressed to single women today, because there's a lot in the culture to distort it. Now, in case you don't know who Julie Slattery is, she is the co-founder with Linda Dillo of Authentic Intimacy, which is a ministry to women around sexual issues.
Yeah.
She's authored a number of books. She's been married to her husband, Mike, since 1994 and has three sons. She is a minority in a fraternity.
That's right.
And she can survive that. She can write this book as well. You talk about how a woman has something that really profoundly impacts their view of sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Well, there are a lot of things that impact it, but I'd say the big impact is the family they grew up in. You know, what they learned about male and female and marriage and intimacy and what they observed, that has a profound impact on how we think about our sexuality.
Talk to us about your own family of origin.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know you'd ask me that.
Didn't know we were being personal.
Hey, Mom and Dad. Yeah.
Yeah,
I have a wonderful family of origin. My parents are both still living, still married after probably close to 60 or more. And I'm one of six kids. My parents came to saving knowledge of Christ when I was a year old, and that the knowledge of Christ and studying the scriptures radically changed their approach to marriage and parenting. So I've been very blessed to be raised in a God-fearing home with healthy relationships, a healthy understanding of marriage and sexuality. But my parents would be the first to tell you that the ways that they equipped us back in the day is not enough for the ways we need to be having this conversation today.
Well, the world has changed.
Yes, it has.
And I lived through the sexual revolution in the 60s, but we're so far beyond what was the sexual revolution of the 60s. I mean, today, stuff that we're talking about, stuff that we're endorsing, is stuff that nobody in the 60s even dreamed about.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a story that involves you two. You don't know this, but my husband took our kids away each individually to do the Passport to Purity. Mm. And when my youngest son, Christian, went on this trip with my husband, Christian came home and he kind of looked at me funny, and how the boys always do this when they're like, oh my goodness, my mom does this. And, you know, he said, I feel like I'm too young to know all of this. And And I explained to him why we wanted him to learn it from us.
He was about 12, right?
Yeah, he was, I think, about 11. And then later in the day, he came up to me and he said, "Mom, I've been thinking the way the world is changing, I'm going to have this conversation with my kids when they're like 4 years old."
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Before we're done, give me his phone number.
Okay.
I just like to call him.
He would love to hear your voice.
Say, he'd probably freak him out. Yeah. It might send him back backwards or something. Michelle, what about you? Your family of origin? How did it shape your view of sexuality?
You know, what was interesting is that sex was a bad word in our home. It was a word that was never uttered at all. Even, I don't remember my mom ever giving me the talk. And it was stuff that I found out through my friends. I mean, I found out everything through my friends, and my mom and dad just were silent about that.
About how old were you when you did find out?
12 or 13. I had a good friend who had 10 older brothers and sisters. And so
she knew everything.
Yeah. She knew everything. And so in our family, it just wasn't talked about. But that was the 70s and 80s. And I wouldn't say that that was not normal.
But I'm thinking about this. If that was the case and there was no conversation about this, going into your teen years, and now all of a sudden there's an awakening happening, mm-hmm. right? And around you are girlfriends and boyfriends who are coupling up and starting to have sex. Did you have any thinking in your mind about what your boundaries should be or where you should go or what you wanted your sexual life to look like as a young, single Christian woman?
All I knew is I couldn't have sex. That's all I knew. I didn't know what the boundaries should look like. I didn't know if there was any gray areas. I didn't know anything other than you can't have sex because that's forbidden in our home.
So your thinking was just
hands
put a fence
off
around this and
don't even go there. Do not read Song of Solomon. Don't even, I mean, you've got to have as pure as possible. So I didn't even think about that.
I think that's a story that I've heard over and over again. And I think it represents not only how the culture has twisted sexuality, but in some ways how the Christian church has presented a less than helpful view of sexuality, which is what you're kind of describing. Mm-hmm. I call it the purity narrative, that, you know, the highest goal is for you to not be sexual, to be pure, to not think sexual things or have sexual longings. And then women and girls can't make sense of their sexuality. They're struggling with, why do I feel the way I do? They feel tremendous shame about just the fact that they even have longings. So, you know, I think that's sort of a paradigm we need to shift, that the purity narrative has some good things in it, but it's also creating some problems.
Well, and even as I was growing up until, I don't even know, 20s and 30s, when it really hit me, was the fact that I was always told, you remain pure until you get married, and it's your husband who you're remaining pure for. And it wasn't until just a few years ago, I was like, no, I'm remaining pure for God. Mm-hmm. I was never taught that. And so I had to have a paradigm shift on my own. Well, I mean, it was God who was shifting that paradigm, but it took a lot after that to even think through that.
I remember my daughter coming to me after she was hearing the purity message. This is after she was married. She said, you know, we hear that girls should be pure until they're married. She said, so what should they be after they're married?
Exactly. Yes.
And it was a great question, right?
Yes.
We've got to make sure that what we're communicating is God's design for sexuality.
Right. And the biblical narrative is actually quite different than the purity narrative and is much more comprehensive and helps us understand things that we're dealing with in culture today, like why is gender important and, you know, how do I address things like pornography that I might be struggling with? Am I pure if I'm looking at porn? And to your point, Bob, what does this look like going into marriage? Is having sex with my husband impure then? Or is there a way for that to be even tainted just because we're married? Does it mean everything's okay? So we've got to be presenting an understanding of sexuality that encompasses all those struggles and questions.
There's something else happening besides the family of origin. It's a culture that is predatory.
Yeah.
And I just want you to comment, Julie. And Michelle, if you want to comment as well, please feel free. What's happening to single women in this culture? Are they feeling like they're being preyed upon? Are they being used? Or what?
I'd love to hear your response to that, Michelle. I mean, I think from where I sit and the women that I talk to, they're usually not thinking that deeply. And it takes time for them to start connecting the dots and feeling like I am being treated like an object. What they're doing instead of being thoughtful about this is just reacting. That if I want attention, if I want to feel worthwhile in this culture, then I have to be overtly sexual and I have to acquiesce to the demands of culture. And so they develop a lifestyle around that. Girls that are growing up in Christian homes, you know, this is how I get a boy's attention. And then the tidal wave that follows is a lot of guilt and shame that they don't know what to do with.
There was an article recently in the Wall Street Journal that says there's an app for that.
Yes.
And it's an app.
Oh, yes.
An app for single women and single men to remove the hashtag MeToo threat.
Yeah, to give consent to one another
for legal purposes.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Michelle, I'm imagining what it might feel like to be a single woman in her 30s, never married, who has said, I'm gonna do this God's way. That's what my parents taught me growing up. I'm not going to be sexually active until I'm married. But all around her, here's what the culture is saying back to her. Guys aren't going to be interested in you. In fact, they're going to ignore you. You got to be sexual to get a guy. Secondly, that's outmoded and outdated. That's just old thinking, and God made you sexual anyway. Why would he give you these desires and then tell you you just got to sit on them and stuff them? You've had to wrestle with these things through your 30s
oh,
and
yes.
into your 40s, right?
And it has been hard because the guys are sitting out there going, hey, we got to figure out if we're compatible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if this thing's going to go anywhere.
And they mean sexually compatible.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
So we got to try before we buy.
Oh, exactly.
Right.
And you say no, and they're like, well, you know what? Maybe we're not at all.
I mean, that's happened to you in that kind of direct?
Yes.
Where a guy
Seriously, from the church?
Yes. Everyone's broken, inside the church and outside the church.
Have you had the internal dialogue where you go, okay, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of playing by the rules. I'm just going to chuck it all and do what I want to do.
Yeah, you asked that
question,
huh?
Do you want the good girl answer or do you want the honest answer?
I want the honest answer on this.
Yes, I have thought that. And in fact, I had a conversation just not too long ago, and I called up a friend and I said, you have to keep me accountable because right now I do not know what's keeping me other than my job at Family Life and the accountability I have there that's keeping me walking this life. Because I wouldn't mind, sorry to say this, finding a guy and hooking up just because I want that satisfaction. Do I know what satisfaction I'm looking for? I think I do. But the Michelle that is walking in the Word and walking with God is sitting there shouting at me and saying, you do not want to go there. The other Michelle is sitting there going, I need something.
And Julie, the average single young woman in the church is listening to the other Michelle and saying, okay, I'm sick of playing by the rules. I guess this is what I got to do.
And it's not only about satisfaction. It's about our definition of maturity. And I, you know, I think that's a large piece of this is the culture is telling you that if you have not experienced sex, you're not a complete person. And you're not a mature woman. And that's just a lie from the enemy. And you're right, Bob. I mean, Michelle, I'm so grateful that you were that vulnerable and honest because that's the internal dialogue. And very few women are not going to give into that dialogue and just say, let me at least try it, to say that I know what this is and I've done this.
Julie, I have to ask this question at this point because there's a lot of women wondering, what is a healthy, God-honoring way of expressing my sexuality?
Oh, yes, please.
Huh?
I'm all ears. I'm all ears.
I mean, seriously, we look at this. We're image bearers.
Yes.
Male and female.
Yeah.
God made a woman to be a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
How does that get expressed?
Part of the confusion here is that we equate our sexuality with being sexually active. We equate intimacy with being sexually active. And so there's all these different aspects of what it is to be a woman, what it is to be an image bearer, what it is to connect with people at an intimate level that really have been sabotaged in our culture. And everything is being placed in this basket of sexuality, which is why it's such a watermark event in our culture of maturity and self-exploration and finding out who you are. And so some of it is, I think, you know, really going back to the beginning and define what is our sexuality, because it's much more than just being sexually active. And when a woman begins to understand that I am by nature, by God's design, by God's intent, a sexual person, even as a single person, even as somebody who's not being sexually active, that there's aspects of my sexuality that don't involve sexual intimacy, then all of a sudden it's like, what does it mean to be female? What does it mean to long for intimacy and pursue intimacy in community and relationship and friendship, to express love? And we have to broaden our understanding that all of that is driven by our God's design of our sexuality.
I heard you talking about relationships being one of the primary ways a woman can express her sexuality.
Yes, absolutely. A relationship that is intimate doesn't have to be sexual. I've had women come up to me and say to me, I don't know the difference. Every time I've ever experienced intimacy, it has been sexualized.
And here's the caution that I think you would give at this point, too. As a woman does become intimate in relationally with someone of the same sex or the opposite sex, because of this culture that these relationships are taking place in, and because of homosexuality, because of a culture that wants to include everybody, a woman needs to guard her heart, doesn't she?
She does. And she needs wise counsel in terms of understanding that feeling close to someone, wanting to share with someone, does not mean that you're same-sex attracted, does not mean that that relationship has to be sexualized. And we didn't have to, again, have this conversation 20 or 30 years ago, because we experienced intimacy and family and friendship in a way that was healthy and not sexualized. But today, everything seems to be sexualized, which is just adding to the confusion of, you know, how do I be a sexual person without acting out sexually?
You know, Julie, that a single woman or a single man, for that point, would look at their life and say, okay, I hear what you're saying about emotional intimacy and being close and having a real close friend. That's all fine. But at the end of the day, I still feel like there's something missing. I feel like I'm being cheated out of something. So it's like, well, that's nice, but that's like saying, okay, you can't have cake for dessert, but I'll give you a candy you can suck on, right? And it's like, no.
It feels empty.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and some of it is that, unfortunately, I think single men and women are being told both by the culture that they're missing out on something, the experience of sex, and by the church that they're missing out on something, that you're not a complete person if you're not married. And so that message is constantly coming at them from both places. And the feeling and the belief is, I haven't arrived if I'm still single and I'm not sexually active. Both of those are lies. And there's nothing in the scripture that tells us that marriage completes us. That's what Hollywood tells us. As a matter of fact, the scripture would tell us that intimacy with God and intimacy in community in some ways was meant to be far more powerful in our lives than intimacy in marriage. But we don't talk about that enough. So I think that women that are single do feel like, I must be missing something.
Well, and in fact, I think what the church is saying, at least what I am hearing, is that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. It's a great picture of the gospel. And so I sit there and go, what about me? Can I be a part of that picture? Can I try to paint some brush strokes on that? What am I, chopped liver? I do sometimes walk away thinking that until I go, no, your identity is not in that. Your identity is as a daughter of the King, and you've got to keep that in perspective. Because if I don't, then I go down the way of being empty and lonely and going, what's wrong with me?
Julie, I want to go back to the statement you made, because I'll bet there are some single women, and for that matter, single men, as well as married people going, wait a second, marriage doesn't complete you? Back before the fall, before sin entered, it was the God of the universe who created them, male and female, who said it is not good that man be alone. He needs a helper to come alongside him.
Really good question. I look at the life, for example, of the Apostle Paul. Here we have a mature man who had an encounter with Christ that was so revolutionary that his advice on marriage, he gives a full picture of marriage in terms of being that picture of Christ in the church and the roles of marriage. But he also essentially says, it is better for you not to marry. And he says, if you burn with sexual passion, then get married. That's better than sinning sexually. But in the long run, it is better for you to be freed to serve Christ. So here is a man that understood the gospel far more than we could ever understand it, and understood God's design, and essentially is saying that let's remember that marriage is just the picture. And if we start only pursuing the picture without remembering that a picture is supposed to point us to a greater reality and a greater intimacy, then we miss the whole point of the picture. Mm-hmm. And Paul had the completion of that. He didn't need the metaphor anymore because he knew what true intimacy with God was and what encountering Christ was. And so I think in his life, we see this tension of, yes, we need to all value the picture. The picture is so important. But let's remember, the picture's ultimately supposed to point us to a greater longing, which is intimacy and being completed in the body of Christ.
Well, and the guy who wrote that, some scholars think he may have been married at some point in his life, the Apostle Paul, but certainly on his missionary journeys, he's a single man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's writing about the blessing of singleness, experiencing it himself because he can be wholly devoted to the ministry that God has called him to. But still in this culture, you can feel like there's some aspect, some good gift of God that is being withheld from me. So, Michelle, how have you processed that in your own heart and life? And how do you deal with that idea that I feel like there's a good gift and I can't have it?
Bob, that's been a question that I've been wrestling with lately. I heard a sermon recently, and the pastor was talking about every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, and He is a good, good Father. And he was talking about how even the good gifts that God give could hurt and sting His children, but they're meant to pull them to the cross and pull them daily into His love and into basically begging for Him and saying, I need you, God. I need you every single hour. So that's where I've been wrestling right now in my singleness and in wanting to be married, is the fact that I need God every single hour. In my earthly need, I need Him more. And that's where I've been wrestling and where I've been.
I want to join you, Julie, in thanking Michelle for being honest and letting us in to your life as a single woman. And Julie, I appreciate you addressing what has to be a gargantuan need in our country, especially within the Christian community, within the church, because we kind of sweep it under the rug, and it was our God who made us male and female. And there's such a need today to know what is a godly view, a biblical view, a wholesome view of my sexuality if I'm a single woman. And for that matter, if you're a married woman, I mean, you're speaking to both. And I just appreciate how you've done this. And I want to encourage maybe some grandparents to get this book, some parents to get it and to read it and think about how you're going to pass this on to your kids and your grandkids. Because Julie has a concept we don't have time to get into right now, but it's called not sex ed, but sexual discipleship. And honestly, I think that's a great concept, to be discipled in the scriptures with God's viewpoint of why and what He was up to when He made us sexual beings.
Well, and Julie, you've designed your book to be a six-week journey for a single woman to go on, where she's got a chapter a day to read through, think through, pray through, to help shape her thinking as she goes on her journey. We've got copies of the book Sex and the Single Girl in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order the book from us online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, the website, familylifetoday.com, or call to order Julie Slattery's book Sex and the Single Girl, 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800, F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. You know, we think these are important conversations that need to be had. These are things that need to be talked about. And we try to make sure when we talk about these issues, we're doing it appropriately. We're thinking biblically. We're honoring the Lord with how we have what are arguably very difficult conversations to have at times. We're grateful for those of you who make this program possible for your fellow listeners. When you donate to support Family Life Today, you are making it possible for this program to be heard by hundreds of thousands of people every day on radio, via the web, on the Family Life mobile app. There are a lot of people who are now telling Alexa to play Family Life Today. You can train your Alexa device so that Family Life Today is just a voice command away. And we're grateful for those of you who make all of this possible when you donate to support this ministry. If you can help with the donation today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you Family Life's new 2019 calendar. It's all about building family togetherness, and there are activities in the calendar designed to help you do just that throughout the year. The calendar is our gift to you when you donate today. Go to familylifetoday.com to donate online or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a donation. You can also mail your donation to Family Life Today at Box 7111, Little Rock, Arkansas, and our zip code is 72223. Now, tomorrow, we're going to talk about what's at the root of this desire for sexual intimacy and how do we deal with those root issues so that we can maintain purity in our relationships. Julie Slattery will be back with us. Michelle Hill will as well. Hope you can be with us. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our host, Dennis Rainey, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.